Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Yes, you heard it there. You could stream Phillies games now on the Odyssey app. So if you had radio.com, your app automatically will eventually, it probably has already, but you know, change to Odyssey, which is our new app. It's the radio.com improved app. It's now Odyssey. And you could stream Phillies games. We've been asked for years, you know, can we listen to the games on the stream? And for years we had to say no. I mean, you have to listen on a kind of a standard radio to listen to the Phillies games, even though you can listen to our shows, like this show right now, on the app. So it's always been one of those things where there's rules and MLB gets involved and whatever. That's over now. So we get to stream the Phillies games on the app, which is great. So, you know, starting tomorrow and the next Phillies game over the weekend, listen to whoever's on. I think it's Go Birds tomorrow. James Seltzer will have leading off after that, right into the Phillies games. Just boom, keep the guys on all afternoon, right to the Phillies. It is awesome. You never have to touch your phone after starting it up. So we have that. And yesterday, whether you listened on WIP on a standard radio or you had your Odyssey app up all afternoon, you got to hear the Phillies. And Scott Fransky bringing us back into baseball and L.A. And listen, it was incredible to hear baseball again and hear the roar of the crowd again. Even though it was only 8,800, it was like it felt like more. Like it felt like more. And it was a heck of an opening day. Let's talk about it. Some opening day takeaways with Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad with us right now. Bob, how you doing tonight?
Joe, what's up, man? How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. And that was an exciting day yesterday. Fans back. And I just, like, I know we had a season last year. I know there was baseball. There were 60 games. But yesterday felt like the first real baseball game we've had here in a long time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The atmosphere was great. Fans were awesome, despite the cold weather. It was a good story. I was actually sitting in the press box, and I was talking to another writer that was next to me, and I said, you know, I know there's not a ton of fans out here, but I said, this is probably what it looked like in 2014 or so, right? And Ruben Amaro was sitting behind me, and he says, yo. I said, ah, sorry, no disrespect, but the fans were great. They were very loud, very active crowd, and it was great to be back at that stadium yesterday watching – meaningful baseball with an amped up crowd for sure.
Yeah, and it was a fun game. So the Phillies win it 3-2. And Bob, a couple of things stood out to me that, and one that I've been worried about and I've harped on is I just don't think this is a very good defensive team. You know, other than JT, I don't think they have many, if any, truly above average defenders. I mean, maybe some guys are right around there, but nothing special. But yesterday, I know Reese, you know, butchered that ball at first base, but other than that, they didn't just play well defensively. They made game changing plays on defense, which is something this team doesn't usually do.
Yeah, I mean, the play that Roman Quinn made late in the game was sensational. I mean, there's really nothing else you can say about it. You have Didi Gregorius going over the shoulder, making a great catch there, and would have had probably a runner on second base with Freddie Freeman coming up in the ninth if he doesn't make that play. So the defense yesterday certainly contributed to that win. That's not something that I would probably say is going to be a strong suit for the Phillies, not something that they're going to be able to rely on game in, game out. I'm in agreement with you. I actually think that defensively in the infield, especially, they are a below-average team. I think that they can hold up in the outfield. But, you know, yesterday they made plays when they had to make them, and it was a game that they simply did not win a year ago and really haven't won with much frequency over the last few years. So it was super encouraging on that front for sure.
Yeah, and the bullpen became the story, Bob. 3 1/3 yesterday, scoreless innings. I mean, the Alvarado inning was a roller coaster, to put it lightly. But, I mean, last year that just doesn't happen. You said it. And last season they won one game, Bob, one, when the starting pitcher came out when it was tied at any point. I mean, it's crazy to think that that's a real thing, but it's true. Like, they simply couldn't win a game when the starting pitcher came out and it was tied. Yesterday they did it. What did you make of the bullpen performance? Because it's interesting. I think yesterday we got a glimpse of right now who Girardi's four guys are, like the four guys he's going to trust right now. And I guess the only surprise in it was that Brogdon is part of the mix, and he was in a tough spot in the 10th, and he did well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two things that jump out at me, number one is Connor Brogdon. You know, the Phillies go into the season here with one lefty, right? They say, hey, Jose Alvarado, you're going to be our guy from the left side. But they really trust some of the reverse splits from their righties. And Connor Brogdon specifically, I know it was a small sample size last year, but he excelled against lefties. He was actually better against lefties than he was against right-handers late in the season. If you go back and look at his 2019 over three different levels in minor leagues in 2019, again, he was better against lefties than he was against righties. And it was a huge spot for him. Starting off the 10th inning, he comes in, gets Freddie Freeman to roll over on a ground ball. I know that he moved the runner in that spot with the runner starting out on second base, but you know, the poise that he showed in that spot was super encouraging, I think, you know, on that front. And then, you know, I think the other thing is just buying time, the ability to kind of go from guy to guy, buy some time. Offense was really struggling, especially with runners in scoring position. Like you said, it's just a game that they don't win under that context a year ago. And I think the huge thing, one thing I really was encouraged by yesterday, you look at the way that Jose Alvarado finished the spring. Like, we were all over him for 3-4 weeks just saying, wow, I mean, this guy looks like prime Aroldis Chapman almost, you know? And the way that he finished two of those last three appearances down in Clearwater were super concerning. But the way that he bounced back after a shaky start in that inning yesterday to come back, and I know that he had some rocky moments there, but you know, I actually thought that was very, very encouraging that inning didn't get away from him, because we saw some innings get away from him late in the spring. So if I'm the Phillies right now, you know, I don't think that this is a top bullpen in the National League, but I certainly think that the upside of this group could possibly make them a top five bullpen. And if they are that with this lineup, I think they have something here.
Yeah, I do too. We're talking about Bob Wankel crossing broad. Bob, you mentioned the lineup. And yesterday wasn't their greatest day. They scored two runs until the extras, and they scored the third run there. They had some nice situational hitting to get the runs in, but it wasn't like they blasted Max Fried. But the one thing that you noticed was, I think Fried was up to about 94 pitches or so through five innings. I mean, they've really made him work, and it just feels like the way the lineup is stacked, and now, you know, it's deeper now because, you know, Bohm was an everyday player and Segura's batting seventh. It feels like they've really got a chance to wear down pitchers, and if they're going against guys that nibble or maybe don't have the great command that day, you're going to see pitch counts get racked up here pretty high, you know, in the middle of games.
I know you're a big baseball guy, so if you remember back in the peak Yankees years with Joe Girardi, you watched them play the Red Sox, and the games would take 4 hours and 20 minutes, right? And yesterday, you look up and you go, there's four runs across, it's the ninth inning, and we're approaching the 320 mark of this game. Like, how is that possible? And it's kind of exactly what the Phillies did yesterday. While Aaron Nola was super efficient early in the game, you know, you look at what they did with Max Fried, and they had him on the ropes in the second, third, fourth inning. And I believe he did finish with 94 pitches through five, but I think he was at 80 at one point in the fourth. And, I mean, if you play that out over time, when you look at the elite-level starting pitching in this division especially, if the Phillies can grind through at bats and really make pitchers burn through their count, I think over time that's hugely important, getting into teams' bullpens early in games. And it could be the great equalizer for this team, because the way that I view it, I mean, yesterday was super encouraging, it was fantastic, but I do think at the end of the day, Atlanta has an elite lineup. There's a ton of talent there. They've won the division the last 3 years. The Phillies are playing from behind with the Braves. Mets are a little bit in prove-it mode, but when you look at, you know, the team on paper, look at the roster, the Phillies are playing from behind a little bit. But if they can take that type of approach and consistently implement it, you know, I think that that's where you start to see a path of like, hey, you know, there's going to be days where they're not 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. They're going to have the ability to grind through a bat, knock pitchers out early. They could do some real damage here.
They could. And if they could steal some wins, especially early with this schedule, it will get them off to a good start. Bob, yesterday, Aaron Nola was really good until the Sandoval home run. He missed his spot by a lot there, and Pablo Sandoval has been hitting mistakes like that for about a decade now. What did you make of Nola yesterday? I know some people are disappointed he couldn't finish it high, but six innings, six plus, two runs against that lineup, I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to go 6 2/3 innings, give up two earned runs against the Atlanta Braves lineup, especially this early in the season, I think it's pretty unfair to be critical of that performance yesterday. That being said, if you want to take a step back and say, what is Aaron Nola? Is he an ace, if you want to give him that label or not? To me, it's all about September, right? Like, I think at the end of the day, he's going to go into the month of September. He's probably going to have a sub-3 ERA. He's going to be one of the six or seven best pitchers in the National League. Can he finish strong? And I saw there was some criticism out there yesterday about not nailing down that final out, but I think that that's fairly, you know, I think that that's a little bit unfair, to be honest with you. For me, Aaron Nola needs to prove it in September, but what he gave them yesterday, I'll take that every time out. And, you know, I thought for the most part, like I said, he was efficient, showed pretty good command. And, you know, I think that Aaron Nola was what he usually is for this team, and I'll take that 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I will too. He's a very good pitcher, but you're right. September's been the Achilles heel for him. Last one for you, Bob. So they play two now against the Braves to finish out the series before the Mets come in. And unfortunately, the Phillies are going to have to see DeGrom in the first one of that because the Mets haven't played yet due to what's happened with the Nats. But this weekend, if you had to pick out one thing you're looking for this weekend, final two games of the series, what would it be?
I want to see Zach Eflin pitch on Sunday. You know, he's a guy that I've written about a little bit through the course of spring. The thing that I like about Zach Eflin, you know, we've looked at Vince Velasquez, we've talked about Nick Pivetta, and you know, we throw the term breakout year around, right? Like, oh, he's poised for a breakout year. But the one thing that Zach Eflin's done that the other two guys haven't is that he's identified weaknesses in his game, he's worked on them, and then he's shown improvement at the major league level in a regular season game at making those adjustments, whereas those other guys really haven't done that. So I think that there's a little bit more of a ceiling for Zach Eflin coming into this season. I think he's comfortable. I think he's confident in who he is as a pitcher. And I really do think that there's a little bit more to get out of Zach Eflin. I'm not saying that the guy's going to be an all-star or that he's going to be a top five or top 10 finisher in NL Cy Young voting, but I really think that there is more there, that he can pitch like a number two or number three, and it's got to start on Sunday. I think he needs to get out to a quick start and kind of start building that hype and sort of validating people like me who have been backing him. So, you know, tomorrow I think that they're in a good spot. Zach Wheeler pitched really well against the Braves in two starts last year. I think they can get Charlie Morton. But on Sunday, when Eflin goes up against Ian Anderson, I think that that's going to be quite a pitching matchup to watch.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one on Easter Sunday. Bob, always appreciate hopping on. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk some Phil soon. Thank you.
Talk to you soon, man.
There he goes. Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad. Go check him out. They're a great writer on the Phils. He brought up the games this weekend. The pitching matchups were fun. I mean, yesterday, Max Fried is good, but like I don't get a sense of excitement watching the Phillies go against him. Tomorrow is Charlie Morton and Zach Wheeler. That's a fun matchup. And then Sunday, I think you brought this up earlier, Tucker, Ian Anderson against Zach Eflin. That is, and remember, Ian Anderson, I think, was the third overall pick in that skim milk draft, and what they got, what's his name?
Moniak? Mickey Moniak.
Yeah, 2016. Skim milk.
Well, you know, that happens.
I mean, listen, Ian Anderson.
It took a worse prospect so that they could get a better second-round pick, and look where he's at.
Who was that? Who was that one?
I forget his name. He quit, though.
Oh, he's not here anymore? Yeah, we got to look up his name.
He quit. I think he actually did come back this year, but he quit for 2 years.
So the returns on that draft, not great so far.
Worse than skim milk. That's a spoiled milk draft, some would say.
Yeah, and you're not a skim milk guy.
No. I mean, just drink water at that point.
Yeah, so when I would drink regular cow's milk, I hated skim milk. I whole milk is obviously a little bit much. 2%, I think, is your normal kind of most people have it in their fridge. But is that fair to say 2% is kind of the regular?
That's what
one?
I go with.
Yeah, I mean, we have it in our fridge with our kids. Skim milk stinks. Like, it's just, when you say that, you don't mean it's, like, not great. You mean it stinks. It's just, it's a bad drink. It's and that's what the Phillies compared that draft to. The 2016 draft to skim. It's a skim milk draft. Anyway, Phils win yesterday, and I'm with Bob on that. I can't wait to watch Zach Eflin pitch coming up on Sunday. 215-592-9494. I've just hopped in the car, just started listening to us, and a couple things we've bantered about. Number one, I felt yesterday watching the game, watching that bullpen pitch, watching the way they play defense, watching the way they grinded the game down and took pitches and kind of racked up the pitch count on Max Fried. It felt like I was watching a playoff team yesterday. I mean, it really, my gut, I woke up this morning, I was like, did I watch a playoff team yesterday? That's the way they played. They played and performed yesterday like a playoff team. Did you have that feeling? Like, are you with me on that? Like, that looked different. And early in seasons the last couple years, the early returns have been omens for the season. Go back to 2018. You know, Gabe taking Nola out, the bullpen. They weren't ready. They weren't good enough. They were trying to get their feet wet and being a new kind of franchise. Didn't work. It didn't work out that year, and they ultimately, it came apart at the seams in August and September. Last year, Nola pitched, good but not great. Bullpen came in, not good. They lose to the Marlins. It was an omen for the season. And I woke up this morning like, you know what? Maybe yesterday was an omen for this season, that this team could be good. Maybe they're better than we think they are. 215-592-9494. And then it is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day here. And we were talking about the ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I go with wheat bread, strawberry jam, and, of course, creamy peanut butter. And I solicited Tucker's opinion on this, but unfortunately, he's never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Not one. Has this show made you more or less likely to want one?
I'm indifferent. I'm not someone who's going to be easily swayed by other people's opinions.
Well, obviously.
I think that's a big part of this show.
You've made it decades. Well, I mean, I would say the same thing, right? I don't.
Right, and I think that's what makes it work.
I appreciate that. That's why the evening show is a good show, because we have our opinions. We stick to them. Once in a while, though, you can remember when I said, I forget what week it was. I can't remember if it was this year or last year, that I said I'm giving Carson Wentz the chance to change my mind. Remember when I did that show?
Did he take advantage of that?
He did not. Well, actually, he did. He cemented that he stunk, so I didn't change my mind. So you have to give peanut butter and jelly a chance to change your mind. Peanut butter and jelly is your Carson Wentz. Well, I don't know. I mean, it might be after you eat it. Anyway, your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Let's go to the phone lines here. Gary is in Whitehall. Hey, Gary.
Joe, what's happening?
Gary, hey, can you believe this guy's never had a PB&J?
I was telling him on the when he took my call how un-American he is.
That's right. He's not patriotic. We found that out tonight.
That whipped cream and white chocolate? Yeah. Yeah.
What is okay. going on with this guy?
Enough said. Sorry, Tucker. You know, I was also telling him how sweet it was how our bullpen went 3 1/3 lights out.
Yes.
How about I was listening to the late game West Coast game Seattle and San Francisco, and Gabe Kapler's bullpen gave up 7 runs, including Jose Alvarez.
I know.
Walking in the game winning run. So, I'm like, oh, that's take that, Gabe.
Gary, I was actually was watching the game before I went to bed, and I think it was like they were winning 5-1 or 6-1 in the fifth or sixth, and I was like, all right,
yep.
I'm going to go to bed. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, and I looked at my phone, and it was 8-7 Seattle and 10, and I was like, what happened? And then I watched it, and it seemed like every reliever he brought in just couldn't throw strikes. It wasn't like he took Gausman out too early, but the bottom line is you're right. Like, their bullpen imploded yesterday.
Yep. I loved it. What was I going to get on point with?
Phils?
I mean, I brought it up last night to Rob after you got off. Why they would even chance JT Realmuto going somewhere else, because he almost was a Met. You know, he's the best catcher, not only behind the plate, calling the games, what he does defensively, and what he does with the bat. Because, quite frankly, in the 10th inning, it weren't for him, advancing Harper over to third, and with that block at the plate, they would have lost.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he know what he did yesterday? All the little things, Gary. Like, he's going to have his games. He's going to hit his 20, 25 home runs. But yesterday was all those little things that makes him such a good player.
Right. And then they toyed around with him, letting him go to the free agent market. I'm like, why? Why would you even do that? Why would you even consider that?
Well, you know what? I think for a while, Gary, before Dombrowski got here, I don't even know if they thought they were going to bring him back. I think Dombrowski came in and was like, hey, guys, what are we doing here? We got to get this guy back.
Exactly. I mean, why would you even mess around with it?
I don't know.
Peanut butter and jelly, it's got to be white bread. And I'm not a white bread fan. I love my multigrain and whatnot, but I love it on white bread. Grape jelly, got to be Smucker's. That's the only way. And I go with crunchy peanut butter.
So you like the crunchy. See, I can have the crunchy, but I'm usually a creamy guy. So you like the grape jelly. I'm with you on that. If you're going grape, you got to go Smucker's. There's no other way.
Yes, that's the only way.
Gary, listen, man, you have a good weekend, all right?
You too. Enjoy your Easter.
All right, you too, Gary. Enjoy any Smucker's grape jelly you have over the weekend. You're a Smucker's guy?
No. I may have Smucker's hot fudge in my fridge.
Well, there you go, then. I mean, Smucker's is a company. It's not just a jelly.
Yeah, I usually, either that or Hershey's, whatever's cheaper.
For what? For what's this for?
For hot fudge.
Yeah, I think I have some Hershey's in my fridge, whatever. Like, for, you pour an ice cream, right?
Well, no, you got to heat it up.
But you're putting it on ice cream.
Yes.
Yes. Or you can make a chocolate milk with it. You do that?
No, I don't like chocolate milk.
I'm out of words. You don't like chocolate milk?
No.
Now, that you've had, right? All right, you know what? I don't want to know. I don't want to know the answer. I'm done. I don't want to know the answer. I'm talking to Dan. Dan in Northeast Philadelphia. What's up, Dan?
What's up, Joe? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Real quick, before we get to baseball, in the summertime, you must hear a lot of motorcycles up your way, don't you?
I do.
I was out Saturday with a friend of mine. I got a Fat Boy, and they make a little sound. And I must have seen 1,000 motorcycles. We stopped at that Franz on the main drag there.
Yeah.
I don't know how far you are from there, but oh, my God, I don't believe how many motorcycles are up there.
I see a lot of them. And sometimes driving home at night, Dan, late, you know, after the games or after Phillies games, if I stop at, like, you know, on the main road or I stop at a Wawa or something, sometimes they're there before they go wherever else they're going. I see a lot of motorcycles.
Yeah, we were on that river road. It was real nice that Saturday. A little windy, but it was beautiful. But to get the baseball, yeah, I think the key to this season is Zach Eflin and the two guys after him, because I expect we're going to get, you know, Nola's good, and you know Wheeler's good. I think Wheeler's just as good as Nola. Now, Zach Eflin, I think he could be as good as either one of them. But the only thing was in the past years is consistency with him.
We know he's had those months. We've all seen it where he has a month or two where he's amazing and then it falls apart. Yeah.
Yeah. We need him. If he's consistent and the last, you know, that the bottom guys can hold their own, I think we got a good shot. I think about 86 wins. What do you think?
Yeah, so I said 84, 85, but after watching yesterday, I mean, I just got really excited, Dan, watching the four guys Girardi went to, Bradley, Alvarado, Neris, and Brogdon. If those guys are reliable most of the time, they could be, you know, more towards what you said, 86, and, you know, give them a shot.
We're in the same ballpark as nobody gets injured, you know.
Yeah, they're going to have a chance, and it's just, Dan, it's amazing, because there's no way they would have won that game last year, but late in the game with the bullpen, no way.
Peanut butter and jelly, toasted bagel, I leave it open face, smooth Schmucker's peanut butter, not Schmucker, smooth Skippy peanut butter, and if you look, every once in a while, you'll see red raspberry Schmucker's jam, but get the one without the seeds. They don't have it all the time. When I see it, I usually grab a couple jars.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
That red raspberry, I'm telling you, it blows away any other kind of jelly I ever had.
How about that? Dan, appreciate it. Hey, you have a great weekend. I would say once a week for breakfast, I have a bagel, open face, with peanut butter, jam, and sliced up banana. It's great. It's a great way to start the day. I'd say the best shows each week happen the morning I have that.
I feel like you have a lot of time to cook intricate meals.
That's an intricate meal?
I'd say so.
I toast the bagel.
That's like four different ingredients.
I cook way more intricate meals than that. I make soup every night I'm bringing in. A bagel sliced in a toaster oven with some peanut butter and jam and a banana?
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah, but I have to eat. I have to eat to have energy. Like, otherwise I have no shot. Oh, coffee can only take me so far. I need real energy. Anyway, that's a good call by Dan, the open-faced bagel. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Your phone calls on this side. Did yesterday change your thinking here on the Phillies and what they could be? I looked them yesterday, and my gut feeling when I woke up was like, you know what? That felt like a playoff team. That felt and looked like a playoff team. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. We'll come back. Talk some Phillies. What is your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich? We'll go to Twitter and see what people have to say there. And, of course, all your phone calls on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And something you may not know is that 94 WIP is part of a bigger company. We are home to the industry's most influential collection of broadcast and digital content, podcasts, and premium live experiences. We're the biggest podcast company in the world, the biggest sports radio company in the world, the biggest news audio company in the world. We're the biggest talk company. I mean, just straight out, we're the biggest talk company there is in the world. Right now, we're part of a brand new company called Odyssey. You're going to hear a lot more about that in the coming weeks and months. Radio.com is now Odyssey. So if you listen to the show on the Radio.com app, and you look on your phone like, where did the purple or whatever color it was symbol go? Well, it's gone. It's orange now, and it's Odyssey. So you'll find it there. And if you haven't had the app, well, go download Odyssey right now. The other one will automatically download. But if you don't have it, go download it. It is Audacy. It's all the audio that matters. Part audio, part audacious, part Odyssey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.